And there is a well-known debate amongst practice. I think it's relatively well-known, although I don't know too many people who do it. I have one close friend who has the minhag from his father, which I occasionally tease him about, which is the practice of Rabbeinu Tam. The practice of Rabbeinu Tam, Shkia, Rabbeinu Tam, Seis HaKochavim. And the problem, of course, the truth is Rabbeinu Tam's position was once very widespread. It was once the standard position. It was the position, it would appear, of the Mechaber and the Ramah. And you might still have some Hasidim who adhere to it. Now, what would be shocking to you about Rabbeinu Tam's position is not that they wait something like 72 minutes, some have 90 minutes, but you're 72 minutes after sunset. What's more shocking is that there'd be people who would be doing Malacha after the sun sets on Friday. And because it's not Shabbos yet. The origins of this machlokas are what I want to explore. The one thing that does seem to be agreed upon by everybody is that we have sort of three steps or three stages. The first step is shkia, which means sunset. The question what sunset means. We have a definition of sunset, but that's not everybody's definition of sunset. And then the second step is a period of bein hashmashos, it would appear. And Bein HaShemashos means literally between the suns. It's this interregnum period whose status is unclear. And the Gemara will explain, well, we'll start out with the Gemara in Shabbos, that it's not clear where the dividing line between night and day is. And then, after that, comes Tseis HaKochavim, which marks the beginning of night. Why does this matter? Because there are a number of mitzvahs that apply during the day, and there are a number of mitzvahs that apply at night. Now, one possibility that I want to dismiss, even though I think it was raised by perhaps some briskers, but I don't think it really emerges too well from the Gemara, is the possibility that Bein HaShemashos represents a hybrid. In other words, it's neither day nor night. One might find a slight smach for this, but it's not really true, where Rabbi Shmuel says to his nephew, who asked him whether he can learn Chochmas Yevanis, in the Torah, the Navi says in Yeshua, V'agisa bo yomam v'layla, so he said to his nephew, if you can find a time that's neither day nor night, so you can, that's when you can study Chochmas Yevanis. It's not Yomam or Laila. I don't think he was suggesting that only Bein HaShemashos it's mutter to study Chochmas Yevanis. So anyways, I wanted to really explore what the positions are. There are actually three positions. One is very, very not well known, which is the position of Rabbeinu Tam's student, Rabbi Lezer Mimetz, the author of the Sefer Yerayim. The only place I've seen it cited, at least in traditional Sfarim, is at the end of the Biur Halacha in Simon Reish Samach Aleph. After discussing the two major opinions, he mentions the position of the Yerayim, and I believe, in fact, the minhag of lighting Shabbos candles 18 minutes before Shkia is actually somewhere I saw that is kind of an offshoot of that of the concern over the Shita of the Yerayim. But there are primarily two main views, that the one which we mostly observe, which is that Shkia is sunset, as we call it, when the sun disappears below the horizon, and then Rabbeinu Tam has a different position as to what is Shkia. So we'll explain. But first I want to start with the Gemara in Shabbos. And what we'll see, the Gemara will go through the particular positions already amongst the Tanaim and the Amoraim. And then the Rishonim present a contradiction between the Gemara in Shabbos and a Gemara in Pesachim. And that's where the whole machlokas breaks loose over when is Shkia, when is Tseis HaKochavim. So we begin with, and I've given you the English translations for everything except for the last two sources. That's primarily because I'm lazy, and those are two Gemaras that I can take from the old out of copyrights on Sino translation. The other ones would require actually doing my own translation. So, anyway, they're short. Tana Rabbanan, we start at the beginning of the source sheet. Tana Rabbanan, Bein Hashmasho, Safek Ben Ayom Men Halayla, Safek Kula Men Ayom, Safek Kula Men Halayla. So, the Gemara here presents three possibilities. Possibility one is that Bein Hashmasho is a time period that is comprised of both day and night, meaning somewhere in the middle of Bein HaShemashos is where the transition happens between day and night. So it's possible that one part of Bein HaShemashos is still day and another part is already night. Or it's possible, maybe all of Bein HaShemashos is considered day, or maybe all Bein HaShemashos is considered Laila. And the Braisa says, Matilin oso l'chomer shnei yamin. Therefore, we are stringent to treat it the chomer of both days. The Gemara goes. This is not odd at first glance, but when you sort of dig down, what's odd about Chomer Shtei Yamim is that normally it's a Chomer one way or the other. For example, if this were Friday going into Shabbos, So it wouldn't be Chomer Shnei Yomim. It would be Chomer for Shabbos. If this were Shabbos going to Motzei Shabbos, you'd be Mimachmir for the previous day. But the Gemara has a case in Tum of Atar and Hilchos Zavim. I cut out the Gemara. If you're interested, you can go back and look there where the Gemara explains how you have to, how one particular time period is a Chumra, both if you assume it's the day before and a Chumra if you assume it's the day after. So Matil Nasol Chomer Shnei Yomim. Now, fine. V'ezehu Bein Hashmashas. When is Bein Hashmashas? So the Bryce is about to say one thing. I expressed charata. I prepared this sugya last week, and I was hoping to have a chance to watch the sunset to see what actually happens. But I really only got a tail end of the sunset last night, and so it wasn't really, really useful. And so I'm going to describe what I think, what some Rishonim say. I know this is a little ridiculous. You should be able to look, but how many people here pay attention to what happens to the sky once the sun sets and what changes light first and so on? Does anybody usually pay attention to that?
You need a view first.
What's that?
You need a view.
That's true also, okay? But for those of us at least who live in suburbia, whose view is not generally blocked that much, still, you know, I don't so much pay attention because we live in a society where we work by watches or the clock. So who cares what the sky is actually doing? You know, when I was a kid, you were taught the Tseis HaKochavim is you need three medium stars. You know, is what we're told. Like, firstly, you can't. I mean, you can barely. What? Yeah, I understand. And Teaneck used to often can also, but the amount of light pollution, it's very hard to see. It's not clear what the stars mean, but, you know, we never actually used that. We just looked at a calendar. It said, you know, I grew up in a shul. It was 50 minutes after Shkia, when Shabbos was out. The shul I daven now was 42 minutes after Shkia. So whoever pays attention to what's going on in the sky. So, but the Braisa says the following. It says, Mishatishka Chama, Kol Zman, Shepnei Mizrach Madimen. As long as the eastern side of the sky is still red. Now, the problem with this, I would have liked this Bryce's is, although I'm not sure this works too well, A and B, but the Gemara is going to turn around later and say it doesn't mean the eastern side. It means the western side. And you say it says Pnei Mizrach. It means the Panim that the Mizrach is Ma'adim. The side that the east lights up, which is the west side, that's what it says. So this line, Kol Zman Pnei Mizrach Ma'adim, refers to in the western side of the sky. Now, as long as there's still a glow of red, that's stage number one. The Braisa says again, when is Bein Hashmashos? From the time the sun sets, that's presumably when it sounds like it when it begins, as long as Pnei Mizrach are Madimen. And the Gemara is going to say it means Mara. Hichsif atachton, lachsif means to become dark. If the lower part of the sky has become dark, velo hichsif ha'elyon, Bein Hashmashos. That's considered Bein Hashmashos. Now, apparently, the lower part of the sky gets dark before the upper part of the sky. Now, I just took a little look last night, and intuitively, I don't think, and I think one of the Rishonim, at least it sounds like this, this part of the Braisa is not talking about the western sky. This is talking about the eastern sky, and that makes sense, right? You'd expect, again, I didn't have, couldn't really tell, it was too late when I looked last night, but you expect that on the eastern horizon, the part that's going to be lighter, longer, is going to be the higher part, because that's more likely to be able to get the reflection of the sun's rays. The part closest to the horizon on the east side, after the sun sets, gets darker faster. So I think that even though the Gemara, and it may make sense also, begins, the first step is Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimen, that means the west side. Hichsif HaTachton, Hichsif HaElyon, these stages, is referring to the east side of the sky. Okay, if that's the case, I think it makes sense, yes, just in the reality of the world. Maybe this week I'll have a chance, the next couple of days are good days, I have to pay attention and see if I can, you know, catch what's going on. I'll be, you know, there'll be Davin Minchot Shul, I'll be standing outside if people ask me why. Okay. But if you look at the form, and then the Braisa says, Hichsif HaElyon, V'Hishva LaTachton, if the upper part becomes dark, and it's now the same as the lower, then it's considered Laila. That's already night. So if you think about what the Braisa described, there's a lacuna in the Braisa, and the Amoraim are going to argue about it, because it started out by saying the following. When is Bein Hashmashos? From the time that the sun sets, or as long as the western side of the sky is still red. Hichsif HaTachton velo Hichsif HaElyon, it's considered Bein Hashmashos. Hichsif HaElyon v'Hishva HaTachton is now night. So the question is, what is that first stage? What is Mishatishka Chama Kozman Shepenim Mizrach Ma'adimen? Which seems to be stage one, before Hichsif HaTachton Vol Hichsif HaElyon, which is clearly Bein Hashmashos, and then Hichsif HaElyon also, which is clearly Laila. So what's going in that first stage? That's going to be a Machlokas Amoraim. Okay, but that's what the Braisa says. There seem to be three stages, and the Amoraim, stage two and stage three are clear what their status is. Stage two is clearly Bein Hashmashos, stage three is clearly night. What is stage one? Well, there are two options. Option number one is Still day. In other words, Bein HaShemashos hasn't come yet. It's still Balayom. Option number two, even though it doesn't read well in the Brisa, is it's also Bein HaShemashos, right? That's going to be the Machlokas Amoraim, whether or not the period one is also part of, you know, goes along with period two, or do you say that when the sun sets initially, calls Mansha Pnei Mizrach Madimin, and it's a very short period of time, at least the way the Gemara works it out, you know, it's Yisrael latitude during the equinox time of the year. It works out to be something like a minute and a half or two. That's all. That's the entire difference between calls Mansha Pnei Mizrach Madimin. Once the sun dips below the sky, another minute and a half is all that is going to be the difference between these two opinions. Okay, and now the Gemara says, the Bryce says, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, now this obviously, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion could be converted into an amount of time, typically speaking, as the Gemara is going to do, the Amorim will do. But Rabbi Nechemiah says, Kidei she'ahalech adam mishetishka hachama chatzi mil. From the time the sun sets until a person would have enough time to walk half a mil, which we assume a mil to be 18 minutes. That's a very comfortable pace for a mil is about a kilometer, I think. Yeah, mil is somewhere in the range of a kilometer. Not for some of the speedsters here, you know, who run, but it means for the typical walking pace, and probably walking when you're walking all day at that. You know, walk 1 kilometer, most people walk pretty quickly. If you're going to walk 50 kilometers, you're probably going to walk more slowly. So we usually work with the number 18 minutes for the kilometer. So chatzi mil would be about 9 minutes after the sun sets. That time period is considered Bein HaShemashos according to Rabbi Nechemiah. And finally, Rabbi Yosei Omer, Bein HaShemashos is keheref ayin. It's like you almost blink your eyes. It's very, very short. I don't mean it's literally keheref ayin. It's really impossible, even in that time period, to know exactly where you are. What's that? Why do we care about it? So the Rishonim, they do ask that question. And I assume it doesn't mean literally blink your eyes, but they grapple with the question for actually a different reason. For Rabbi Yosei, it doesn't matter. You're right, it doesn't matter that in that time period what the status is, but it does matter when the time period is. And therefore, well, Rabbi Yehuda established a certain amount of time, and Rabbi Nechemiah established a certain amount of time, Rabbi Yosei says the period is very short. But there's still, in other words, it's still, Rabbi Yosei's Bein HaShemashos is going to be sometime between Shkia and some point later. So it isn't, even though the duration may be virtually irrelevant, the time is important. Later the Gemara is going to talk about are going to comment that Rabbi Yosei's Bein HaShemashos does not overlap with Rabbi Yehuda's. And it makes it sound like initially the Gemara sounds like Rabbi Yehuda's ends and immediately Rabbi Yosei's begins, which the Gemara doesn't actually say that explicitly. It's close to that. And many of the Rishonim reject that because then they say, what's the point of being machmer for Rabbi Yosei's opinion? It's totally irrelevant. Who can do that anyway? Once you're holding Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, you're not going to do anything literally the second, you know, after the Bein HaShemashos is over. That's just not going to happen. But I think there's a Gemara in the Daf. I don't know if the Daf has done it yet. About, you know, if you see a fire lit immediately after Shabbos, if it's an adult, you know it's a goy, not a Jew, because a Jew would never light it that close to after Shabbos unless it's a katan. A katan might, you know, just think, oh, Shabbos is over and do it. So if Rabbi Yosei's Bein HaShemashos is so short and it's right after Rabbi Yehuda's, it has no real nafkamina for us. But the Baalei Tosfos will say it's close, but it is separated by somewhat. So knowing when it is what's important for Rabbi Yosei.
Okay. When you talk about a tamid shel bein harbayim, what is the time on that?
No, so tamid shel, so the firstly, any karban, the only part of avodah that could be done at night was A, eating the kachim, which is a form of avodah, and B, burning the evarim on the mizbeach. So shchita had to have been done during the day. Their actual practice of doing, of the tamid shel bein harbayim was done much, much earlier. The latest it was done was usually at 9.5 hours, mincha ketana. And sometimes it was done. The Mishnah in Pesachim talks about Tamid Nishchat, the fifth parak, talks about when they were shochated. Certain days they did it a little earlier. The competing considerations is they didn't, it seems like they didn't want to push it so late. I don't know if it's just so they shouldn't go over overtime, but it seems to be some kind of a hakpada of doing it in the first part of the second half of the day. But on a regular day, I think they may have, they shechted 8.5 hours and they burned the Evarim at 9.5. The reason why they would push it that late, as opposed to doing it earlier, is because you can't bring any other private karbanos after the Tamid is brought. So they would push a little later in the afternoon, and then, like Erev Pesach, They did it an hour earlier because you had all these, Karban Pesach was done after the Tamid Dafka, you couldn't do it before, so you needed more time for that. And I think if it was an Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos, then they moved it to 6.5 hours, so they did it pretty early. They did it pretty early. So we have three opinions then amongst the Tanaim, how long Bein HaShemashos is. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, certainly from Hichsif HaTachtam Lo Hichsif HaElyon, that period is, plus maybe a small period before, that's the Machlok Samarayim. Rabbi Nachami's opinion is, and those numbers, by the way, are going to work out to either two-thirds or three-quarters of a mil, either 12 or 13 and a half minutes. And Rabbi Nechemi's opinion is that it's half a mil, and then Rabbi Yossi's opinion that it is keheref ayin. Okay, so now the Gemara says the following. Hagufa kasha. There's an internal contradiction, at least implied, in the Braisa. Amris ezu ben hashmashos. The Braisa begins the sentence by stating that when is ben hashmashos? Mishetishka achama kol shulaman shepenei mizrach madimim. So that sounds like that's ben hashmashos. Ha-hichsef ha-tachton ha-hichsef ha-elyon. That once you get to the bottom sky darkening, even though the upper sky is not dark, is Laila. Laila. Then Vahadar Tana, Hichsef Atahton, Lechsef Ayon, Bein Hashmashos. And so which is it? So there are two answers proposed amongst the Amorim. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. It's going to be Rab and Rabbi Yosef, both in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kroch Vitani, collapse it together and teach Ezu Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos, Mishetishka Hachama, Kozman Shepene Mizrach Madime, Behechsevatayim, Lechse Elyonami, Bein Hashmashos. In other words, it starts with sunset while the sky is red, and then even after the sky is no longer red, let's say the western sky is no longer red, and if the upper sky is still light, even though the lower sky in the east has darkened, it's also Bein Hashmashos. Once you get to Hechsev HaElyon, Vehishva, Latachton, that's considered Laila. Right? So in other words, periods 1 and 2 are Bein HaShemashos. And Rabbi Yosef from Rabbi Yehuda Mashmol, no. Hachi Katani, Mishetishka Achama Kozman Shepenei Mizrach Madimin, still Yom. So I mean, you have a time after Shkia that's still considered Yom. Hichsef HaTachton, Hichsef HaElyon, when the lower sky in the east is darkened, but not the upper sky, that's Bein HaShemashos. Finally, Hichsef HaElyon, Hichsef HaTachton, Laila. And the Gemara says, "V'azdu l'tamayu." Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are consistent to their shitos. The itmar shir ben hashmashos bekama. How long is ben hashmashos? And he's talking about the ben hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda here. Amar Rabbi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmua, shlosha chelke mil. Three portions of a mil. What does three portions of a mil mean? How many chalakim are you breaking it up into? It could be four quarters. It could be fifths. It could be sixths. It could be sevenths. So the Gemara says, "My shlosha chelke mil." Ilema tlasa palge mila. If it means three halves of a mil, lema milumechta. That would seem pretty silly suggestion. Why did he just say a mil and a half? Why did he say three chalakim? If a chalak of a mil means you cut a mil in half, and you want three of those, he should have said milumechta, not shlosha chalke mil. Ela tlosa tilse mila, three thirds of a mil. If that's the case, lema mil. As if the way you divide a mil up is three parts, three thirds is one, so just say a single mil. Ela tlosa reve mila. Three quarters of a mil, which using the number 18 minutes, and again, this is seasonally and latitudinally dependent, is 13 and a half minutes. For Rabbi Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Shnei Chelke mil, two portions of a mil. So the Gemara says, Maishna, I don't know why they have to work through this, but Maishna Chelke mil, Ilema, Tre Palge Mila, if a Chelke mil is a half, then say, Lema mil, say two halves is one. The Ella Tre Rive Mila, just for fun, the Gemara wants to balance this, because the next thing to have done was to say a third. So it says, no, if it means, like Rabba said, that it's a quarter of a mil, then why say two quarters, Lema Chatzi Mil? A basic lesson in fractions. Ella Tre Tilse Mil. Obviously, he means two thirds of a mil. So two thirds of a mil is 12 minutes, hence a minute and a half difference between them of how long Bein HaShemashos is. Meaning, for Rabba, Bein HaShemashos begins at Shkia. For the next minute and a half plus the following 12 minutes, so you have Bein HaShemashos. For Rabbi Yosef, the first minute and a half, which is Kozman Shepnei Mizrach Madimin, is still Yom, and then for the next 12 minutes, that is considered Bein HaShemashos. Okay.
Is there somewhere else where we use mil for timing, and is it, why not just say parts of an hour or time directives? Why is this used
here? Well, what else would you like to use?
They didn't have clocks
or watches.
Okay. So,
Right, that's your question is a fair question, because we just don't think in those terms. Yeah. Right, you know, how long is it till we're starting davening? About the time it takes to run a mile. It's like, who would say that? Except for, that's because, you'd say, 7 minutes and 43 and a half seconds, right, on the atomic clock. But they that wasn't an option. There have been books written about this. There was a book published recently. I don't even remember the name. My wife was telling me about this. About that not being able to tell time the way you do, or being able to tell time, it just changes totally how we look at things. Right? But that wasn't the way that they looked at things. Because it wasn't simply an option. I mean, you know, you had a sundial. You had a, theoretically, they might have had sometimes sand timers, but really, you didn't have. I mean, you told time by looking
at.
What's that? It was an amount of time, correct. But I think that there were, not necessarily, I think the hour division already existed from the Greco-Roman period. And the only question is how to measure it was the challenge. So at night you could measure it with the stars. During the day, not as precisely because it's hard to look at the sun. The solar position would tell you something. But there are, you know, again, and its solar position only tells you something with respect to the season. In other words, that's why we have Shazmanius.
Right. So you told us approximately how much a mil is. Is there a whole Talmud arguing who's walking the mil? How tall is he? How short is he? How many steps he takes?
No, the Gemara says, I think the Gemara may say that we shown him Sam Sachem Halach Adam Beinuni, an average person. Which is a problem, of course, because there are. If we were looking at all our Jewish children, no Jewish children are average. So how would you calculate that? I don't know.
But even the first daf from Berachos we learned a couple of weeks ago, when the Kohanim made the Truma or the Ashmora, but they had to relate it to a time.
Well, Ashmora was easier because if you're talking about periods of the night, you can use the stars to precisely chart. In other words, the star that rises, its position
so
on the horizon.
For the cloudy night, then they just guessed, or
yeah. They. I mean, the Gemara gives simanim. Remember, the Gemara gives you simanim when you can't see it.
Yeah,
how
but,
you know?
But it's still ambiguous. It's amorphous. You know, it's like not as precise.
Yeah,
time.
Correct. It wouldn't have been as precise time, right? Today, someone would have the clock on you and want to dock your pay because you punched in late for the Ashmura Shnia, right? Because you were 4 minutes late. They wouldn't have known. It was, you know, that's the way they.
It was a guessing game, basically, to some degree.
Yeah.
Or is this purely just theoretical? Is this just theoretical math? In other words, I mean, just the fact that he says Shlosha Chalkei Mil without even saying what the denominator is, right? If this was really, really important, for him just to say three parts and then to have a whole Amorite dispute about three, what the denominator is, you would never do that in something that was really...
So one of the things that the Rishonim say is that it's very hard to calculate this, which is why... Well, so they say it anyway. The real Shear is going to be the one. Notice what's missing in this discussion that many of us were taught when we were young, and I mentioned it earlier. The stars. That's going to come later in the Gemara. And some of the Rishonim suggest that the reason why the real shear is the stars. Shlosha kocham beim. The problem is, what's an average star? And therefore, lo gedolim hanirim beyom, not big ones that are seen even during the day, which probably means certain of the planets. Venus probably more than anything else. And not kochavim ketanim that are only seen, what we would say, at night when all the stars are visible, the way the Gemara reads it. But rather kochavim beinonim. The problem is, how do you decide that? So that's why they gave this year. So people, I suspect that people had a better sense of approximating than we do today. If you, the more you have to do something, the better a sense you get of approximately what would be a certain amount of time. So, And anyway, even for Rabbi Yehuda, the way the Amoraim present it, so there's a simon in the sky, right? You can look at Hichsel and Hichsel Tachton. So they're giving you a shear, but really the essential part is, in fact, the appearance in the sky. One thing I think should be clear here, which always bothered me for a long time, but I think it's clear from the Gemara. Tzeis HaKochavim, at least according to the Gra position, does not mean it's pitch black. In other words, there will still be a Tzeis HaKochavim, light visible on the western horizon. The sky will have some degree of illumination, and that doesn't mean that it's not night. Especially if Hichsel HaTachton, as I understand it, refers to the eastern sky. The eastern sky will be totally, totally dark. The western sky is still going to have some traces of light of the sun, and it could actually be considered Laila. For Rabbeinu Tam, that's not the case. But for the Gra's position, that is almost certainly the case. Okay, so now... having solved that problem, the Gemara now tells the following. Oh, so the Gemara says more. We think my Beinayu. What's the difference? This is a arithmetic problem. Ika Beinayu palga de danka, half of a sixth, which is the 12th, because 2/3 of a mil is also 8/12 of a mil, and 3/4 of a mil is 9/12 of a mil. Hence, the difference between these two is 1/12 of a mil, or 1/2 of 1/6, which in our numbers would be a minute and a half difference. Yeah. Why did they think in those terms? they were not so arithmetically proficient. And that I think that's clear in the world, I would say, of Roman numerals, fractions are much harder to deal with. I don't know how the great geometrists of the Greek world managed to do with some things they did, given how difficult it was using Roman numerals. Arabic, I'd like to say, not my idea, that one of the, maybe the most important single invention of the common era was the zero, the zero digit in Arabic numerals. So, whatever. So that's what the Gemara says. Now, one last piece on this. Abaye Chazia, no, before that, one second. I'm sorry, Abaye Chazia, yes. Abaye Chazia L'Rava, the Kodave L'Marav. He was looking to see, I guess, if Shabbos was over, and he was looking towards the western sky. So Amar Leva, Tanya, Kozman Shapnei Mizrach Madimen. As long as the eastern sky is lit up. Amar Le Misavis Pnei Mizrach Mamish Lo. Ponim Hama'adimim Es HaMizrach. Okay. Now, the truth is, if you read the Gemara this way, one would have thought that Hichsef Elyon and Tachton are also in the west, because if Rava was looking in that direction, that would have been what he would have continued looking there. But I'm not sure, reading some of the Rishonim, it doesn't sound like that, and it doesn't make any sense to me. I do understand Kosman Shepenei Marav Madimim makes more sense. You know, there's a certain degree of brightness in the sky that will disappear shortly, and that is considered, you know, that you have to look in the western sky. But in terms of the higher sky getting darker before the lower sky, so that I looked last night, and that was pretty clear to me, that when you look westward, the upper part of the sky gets darker before the lower part of the sky. So to me, the only way to explain that Hichsef HaTachton comes first, it means you're looking at the eastern side. But okay, fine. So that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The way the Amoraim read, from minute 1.5 after what we call sunset until 13.5 minutes is Bein Hashmashos, and some say even the first 1.5 is, and some say it's not. After 13.5 minutes, B'yomei Nisan, B'ofak Shaleretz Yisrael, at that latitude, so then at 13.5 minutes, it is now Laila, which would be shocking. I don't know anybody who would actually do that, but it would be halachically considered according to the Gra, and the Gra's position was actually the Rambam's position and the Gaonim's position, probably Rashi's position. That's when Laila actually was. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Kidei she'hai adam she'halech adam mishetishka chama chatzi mil. From the time the sun sets, half a mil. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler alert. The big machlokas harishonim, as I suggested before, is based upon what does it mean mishetishka hachama. So we usually think sunset means like sunsets, what we call it. But Rabbeinu Tam's sunset was a lot later, and we'll explain more about that. But this Gemara, actually, is a very difficult Gemara for one opinion, and seems to prove the other opinion. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Harotze Leida Shi'uro Shel Rabbi Nechemya, Yaniya Chama Berosh HaKarmel, he should leave the sun, he should see it when it's at the head of the Karmel, about to dip below the horizon of the mountain, V'yered V'yitbal Bayam, he should go down into the Kineres V'yale. That amount of time where he scoots down and comes up, Zehu Shi'uro Shel Rabbi Nechemya. That's how you know. So the question is...
Short time.
Well, yeah, I don't know how long the distance is, but presumably it's 4.5 minutes each way, approximately, something like that, and the dipping time, having you get that in there. But the question is, when does the period of Rabbi Nechemya start? Does it start at what we call sunset, or does it start at something we call later, or something we be later? What? It certainly doesn't start after what we call sunset. It sounds like the sun's at Berosh HaKarmel, meaning it's about to dip below the horizon, and you run down and you go up. It doesn't sound like this is some time that the sun is doing something some 50 minutes after sunset. And it sounds like you're measuring Rabbi Nechemya's Bein Hashmashos by, you see the sun, it's starting to dip below, run, and run back. Now, the truth is, if one wanted to argue from this, you could even make an argument for the odd opinion, Reim's opinion, is that Bein Hashmashos actually starts before sunset. That was actually the position of the Reim. That Bein Hashmashos, that period actually starts before sunset, and it might be for the Reim that what we call sunset is Laila. Which, by the way, I just want to say would be the halachically most, pragmatically speaking, or conceptually speaking, the most logical thing in the world. Which would be, when the sun is up, it's day. When the sun is down, it's night. That's what it would have been easy, but... and then the only question is, what's the... So his Bein Hashmashos comes right before Shkia. But certainly, reading this Gemara, it's very difficult to see this Gemara suggesting that Spain Hashmashos begins some real time period after sunset. Right? It sounds like Misha Tishka, you go up, you see the Chama Barosh HaKarmel, which again could mean you see just the tippy rim of the sun about to go under, or it could mean the whole sun. You know, that's depends who's.
Sunsets, that's the end of day, and it gets very dark, and that's night, and therefore Bein Hashmashos is in between those, right?
Well, in between, you have to pick a point. In between
sunset,
what?
When you can't see the sun anymore.
Right.
Right, and then when it gets dark, right, there's that period where
I agree. The Gra's position is by far the most obvious and mistaber position, based upon all of the sources. There's only one difficult source we're going to look at momentarily. There's no question the Gra's position is the most mistaber position. The Gra utters a very famous line. I didn't put the Gra here because the Gra is really hard to read. But the Gra utters a famous line. He's talking about comparing the Bein HaShemeshos period, the period between Shkia and Seis HaKochav at night, and the period in the morning, which should have, in other words, from Amud HaShachar until Zricha Sachama, which are astronomically parallel and have similar dinim, except for in the morning we say from Amud HaShachar and onward, it's already considered a day, right? There's no Suffolk period in the morning, which is kind of interesting. The truth is it doesn't really matter that much. I mean, it matters. It would, except for Kriya Shema is really not dependent on Yom HaLayla. So you're left with Tfila, and the only other time it's relevant is on semi-fasts, when if you want to eat before. That's the primary, but it doesn't, I mean, I'm not surprised that Chazal did not necessarily, there are almost,
spend as much time.
And there may not be any, if you assume that Tfila is only Drabanan, so it's certainly Zman Tfila is Drabanan, there probably are no Nafkaminas Midaraisa, for sunrise. There's only one nafkamina, we would jokingly say in the base medrash, that if you took a neder, based upon, the time period, what would that time period fall into? You can always do that. You can make kiddushin out on the condition that particular time period is day or night. That's a joke. I mean, you could do anything you could do with that. But I actually would matter if I took a neder not to be nana during the yom, but that would probably be whatever people call yom, not halachic yom.
So,
what? So, you have me there. I think the din is Amud HaShachar. They really didn't assume it was a Suffolk, even in the one Daraisa case that you probably have. What I just said was nonsense. Of course there are lots of Daraisa dinim. They're all in the Mishnah Megillah, a few of them. Show for all the mitzvah Shabayom. Right, they don't treat it true. They don't treat it, you have those. It doesn't come up so regularly for us. I guess Sukkot will come up for people if you have to travel somewhere and you want to shake lulav. So you can do it b'diyevet after Amud HaShachar, l'chatchila after Neis HaChamas. Okay, I scratched that from the record. You got plenty of nafkis in the morning, but for some reason they don't seem to be. They don't discuss any of the details of the same length.
Shemashah literally would be the shemesh and the moon.
I don't think so. I don't know what the term Bein HaShemeshos comes from.
Because when we learn about the sun being created in the moon, the sun is the big light and the moon is the small light. Shemesh.
So the problem with that is from an astronomical perspective, very often the moon and the sun are together, right? It's not a... I will tell you the following also. I don't know what I still don't know what the etymology... I can tell you where the term appears. In the Targum, the translation of Bein HaArbayim is Bein Shemshaya. So I don't know... I don't know exactly what that means. And Bein HaArbayim, as Chazal understood, is clearly during the day.
I mean, at one extreme, you could say Bein HaShemeshos means between the sun setting and the sun rising, so the entire night is Bein HaShemeshos.
Yeah, no, so I don't know. I confess ignorance as to what the etymology of this of the term is. Okay. So now, the Gemara, how do we handle this practically? So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Bein HaShemeshos to Rabbi Yehuda, Kohanim Tovlim Bo. The Bein HaShemeshos of Rabbi Yehuda, Kohanim are allowed to go to the mikveh. And why are the Kohanim going to the mikveh? Because they want to become Tohor when night comes. But in order to that to work, in order to have Harav Shemesh, when do you have to go to the mikveh? During the day. And if you go at night, then you're not Tohor until the next nightfall. So Rabbi Shmuel said...
Or before night, right, in theory.
What's that?
Before night, right? It doesn't matter.
Well, but as long as it's not night yet.
Yes.
And therefore, you're not going to allow a suffik of night either. And you're talking about a Kohen eating trumas, potentially sveka d'oraisa, because if he's tameh, and his tefillah took place at night, then he's still tamei till the next day minat Torah. So Gemara says, Leman, who are you going to the mikveh during the Bein HaShemashos Rabbi Yehuda that you can eat that night? Ilem and the Rabbi Yehuda, Sveikahu. It's his Bein HaShemashos. How can you do that? Ela Bein HaShemashos to Rabbi Yehuda, le Rabbi Yosei Kohanim Toflimbo. If you're in the Bein HaShemashos period of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yosei, Kohanim could still go to the mikveh then. Pshita, the Gemara says. Okay, what's the Chiddush? It's not Bein HaShemashos for Rabbi Yosei. So the Gemara says, no. Mahu detema Bein HaShemashos to Rabbi Yosei, Meshech Shayach Bed Rabbi Yehuda. That it is stretched out, meaning it occurs during the time period of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's this, and Rabbi Yosei's period is sometimes in that time. So that's what you would have. That's what you might have thought. Kamash Malan, the Shalim Bein HaShemashos to Rabbi Yehuda, v'hadar Mascha Bein HaShemashos to Rabbi Yosei. Now, what Shmuel's telling you is that Rabbi Yosei's Bein HaShemashos is completely after Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos. So Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos is here and sometime afterwards. Tosfos says he thinks it's going to be within the Shir Tevila that the Gemara had, the Brice and the story in Rabbi Nechemya. But Tosfos thinks it's pretty close. Other Mishonim want to challenge that. Okay. Now,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
It seems to me, when we talk about the Carmel, right, he says, V'yitvo, V'yor V'yitvo.
Right.
Is that any reference literally to Tefillah?
That's discussed in the Rishonim and whether that's supposed to count. I think Tosus thinks not. I think the Ramban might think yes. I'm not sure whether or not it's significant that you're choosing Tefillah there. Right. So let's assume for the moment no, but either way. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda L'Inyan Shabbos, Halacha K'Rabbi Yosei L'Inyan Truma. So he says, with respect to Shabbos, it means Erev Shabbos, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, we'll machmir to start Bein HaShemashos earlier. With respect to eating Truma, we hold like Rabbi Yosei, we'll machmir that way. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara will explain, B'Shlama Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda L'Inyan Shabbos, L'Chomer, we understand, Aval L'Inyan Truma Maihi. Ilema L'Tvila, it means Kohanim can be Tova then, Sveikahi, El Alachilas Truma. No, it means that we follow Rabbi Yosei for Achilas Truma, that a Kohen who went to the mikvah earlier in the day is not allowed to eat until Rabbi Yosei's Bein HaShemashos passes.
Sorry, when did we define that? Rabbi Yosei's time? He just says terrifying.
Right, he doesn't say when it is, but Shmuel has now told us that Rabbi Yosei's Bein HaShemashos is after, completely, totally separate from Rabbi Yehuda's. That the Braisa doesn't make it clear, right? You could have thought that. So the Gemara sounds like, it sounds like it's right after, but the Rishonim think, the Tosfos says it doesn't make sense to be right after, because given how short it is, what would the point be, you know, of having a Chumra for Yosei? You would never be that, even if you only held the Rabbi Yehuda, you would wait a little bit after Bein HaShemashos is over, because you would never be sure it would be over. You'd be covering Rabbi Yosei as well. So that's why they say, that's why the Rishonim generally assume there's some gap, it may not be a very long gap, but some gap between when Rabbi Yehuda's ends and Rabbi Yosei's takes place, is a better way of putting it. It doesn't really begin, because it begins and ends, you know, immediately. So the Gemara says, "Delo achli kanim truma d'shalom bein hashmashos Rabbi Yosei." It is kind of interesting here, I don't want to explore this to Rishonim, do I ask the question, the Gemara could have reversed this as well. It could have said that legabe Shabbos, we hold like Rabbi Yosei. Legabe Truma, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Shabbos means going into Motzei Shabbos. You have to wait for Rabbi Yosei's time. And Truma means you have to do Tefillah before. Instead, the Gemara chose Erev Shabbos, and it chose Achilas Truma. Okay, fine. Now, the last Gemara here, and if you were wondering, you know, it's time for the stars to come out. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kocha Vechad Yom. One star is still day. Shnayim Bein HaShemashos. Shlosha is Laila. Tanya Nami Hachi Koch Vechad Yom Shnayim Bein HaShemashos Shlosha Laila. Am Rabbi Yosei, Lo Kochavim Gedolim Hanirim Biyom, Velo Kochavim Ketanim Shenirim Balaila, Ela Beinunim.
Whatever that means.
Yes, how do you have Beinunim are? Okay.
This is the simplest one of all. This just cuts to the simplest thing.
Correct. The only thing is you're just left with knowing what's an average star. Am Rabbi Yosei Brev Zvida Ha'osa Malacha Shnei Bein HaShemashos Chayiv Chatas Mimanav Shach. If a person does Malacha on Erev Shabbos at a certain time Bein HaShemashos, and at the same time Bein HaShemashos does, today he does Malacha on Friday, 2 minutes after Shkia, and then on Shabbos he does Malacha 2 minutes after Shkia, he brings the Karban Chatas. Why? Because Meman of Shach, he violated Shabbos. He does Mechal Shabbos on Friday evening, or Mechal Shabbos on Saturday evening. Okay. And that, by the way, well, this is one of the proofs that there's no such thing as Bein HaShemashos, this hybrid period. In other words, the Gemara, it's clear from this Gemara that it's either night or day. We just don't know when one begins and one ends. Because if it weren't that way, if you had this hybrid period, a true hybrid, then maybe you would say, how do you know Michal Shabbos in either one? You could maybe answer the question, but it's not my disproof of that particular theory. Yes, Larry?
From a practical perspective, if one looked at the sky when you could see the stars, how much time is there between one, two, three?
Well, yeah, I don't know. If I had to say, would it make most sense for Rabbi Yose's opinion?
Right.
Right, it's how much time between one and three. I have no idea. Yeah.
Good luck.
But it's a measure of the darkness of the sky.
Scott, yes, correct. You won't be able to measure tonight unless there's a blackout.
So now we have quinoa as a whole new thing. Now we have satellites. We should talk about this again.
It is an amazing thing, actually, when you see what the sky looks like when you don't have light pollution.
Yeah.
Right. When you look at the sky where most of us live, including in Tinek, and you read Parshas Lech Lecha, God says to Avram, go look at the Kochavei HaShemayim and count them, Ko Yis Arecha, that's a curse, not a blessing.
Right. Well, I remember a long time ago sleeping out at Jabal Musa, and it was like daytime at night,
right,
because
right.
The stars were...
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. So anyway, that's what the Gemara and Shabbos is. So that would be very simple. If all we had was the Gemara and Shabbos, we probably would have said that that Bein HaShemashos begins at Shkia, according to Rabbi Huda, and probably according to Rabbi Nechemya. It goes until, 9 minutes, 13 and a half minutes, 12 minutes. And Rabbi Yose believes that no, Bein HaShemashos is actually after that time period for a very, very, very short time. That's what we would have said.
So are we saying then that Bein HaShemashos period, whatever it is, it's night?
No.
Suffix. What is it?
It's a suffix. That's what the Brisa began with. It's a suffix.
So that's why you bring a chatas.
Well, no, you bring a chatas because one way or the other, in other words, if you did it both Friday night and Saturday night at that time, one of them was day.
Surely one of them was day.
Okay. One of them was day and one of them was night. We just don't know which is which.
Okay, but if you did only one of them?
Then it's a suffix. You'd bring an Asham Taloi. Yeah. Okay. But here's the problem. The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Tzadi Dal, if you turn over the page, says Meisvei. I'm not interested with the context, just the statement itself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is Rabbi Yehuda, the same Rabbi Yehuda we had in Shabbos. Avyo Shel Rakia, the thickness of the firmament is Echad Me'asara Bayom. What that means, in effect, is the amount of time it takes the sun to traverse the thickness of the rakia. So remember what he's thinking when he describes this. The sun goes underneath the rakia during the day. If you break the rakia into degrees and you take a tenth of that arc, the length of the rakia, the thickness of the rakia is one-tenth of that. What happens, as we'll explore later on, I'll explain the Gemara on Tzadi Dal and Beis, is the sun goes underneath the rakia during the day, and then it traverses the thickness of the rakia to get behind at night, and at night it goes behind, and then once again does the same process to come out on the eastern side. That's how one of the ancient understandings of the cosmology. Even those what? I'm not sure where Ptolemy thought the sun went at night, because the Gemara is going to present two opinions, the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Musolim, who also believe in a solid firmament. That was standard, but they believe that the sun went underneath the Karka at night, which is much closer to, which I mean is true, in effect. I mean, maybe it's the rotation of the earth, but where the sun goes at night, if we consider ourselves stationary, is underneath the earth. And we'll get to that in a second. Right now, Rabbi Yehuda is speaking in terms of that cosmology where the sun has to traverse the rakia, and he says that thickness of the rakia, of the firmament, is one-tenth of the length of the day. And now he says, Teda, kama mahalech adam beinani bayom, how far can an adam beinani walk in the course of a day, is Eser Parso, so Parso is 4 mil, so that's 40 mil, 40 kilometers, which is about, a little short of a marathon. That's what a typical person can walk in a day. Now again, if you're talking about a 12-hour day and you walk at even, that's not a very brisk pace, right? But you're walking all day. So, Ume alos ha-shachar ar-hanetza chama, arba'as milin, and mishkiyas ha-chama ve'atzeis ha-kochavim, arba'as milin, nimtzia ovyo sherakia achar me'asar bayom. So what the Gemara said, what Rehuda says here, is that the thickness of the rakia is 4 milin. 4 milin, meaning that's how long it takes the sun to traverse it, both from dawn to sunrise, and from sunset to tzeis hakochavim. So here you may see the problem immediately. One thing I think everybody agrees to, Shkia here, in this Gemara, means what we call sunset. Why? Because you're talking about if the sun is traversing the width of the Rakia, you can't see it anymore. So clearly Shkia here means when the sun disappears from our view, but it still has to travel to get behind the Rakia. And he says that it's 4 milin until Tzeis HaKochavim. So when is Tzeis HaKochavim? 72 minutes after what we call sunset. So much, much later than what Rabbi Huda is talking about in the Masechta Shabbos. That's the problem. So if you take a look now towards the bottom, I'll come back to the second half of the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara, Trey Tilsemile, Tosa says the following, Kasha, Dehacha Mashma, De Mishkia Sachama Ad Halayla, from Shkia Sachama until what is halachically night, Leka Ela Tlase Rive Mil. Now you notice the Gemara here in Shabbos didn't call it Tzeis HaKochavim, we called it Laila in the original Brisa. Right, Yom, Beit HaShmashos, Laila. So it sounds like from the time the sun sets until Laila is only 3/4 of a mil. Okay, he's taking the longer shear. V'Rabbi Yehuda Gufei B'Psachim B'Perek Mishahaya Tamei Savar D'Mishkiya Sachama Tzeis HaKochavim is Arba Milin. V'Tzeis HaKochavim Lailahu. The definition of Laila is Tzeis HaKochavim K'Damrina Reish Perekam D'Tzachim Uchemuchach Kra. We saw it in Bracho Staf Beis Amin Beis V'Anachnu Osim B'Amachad B'Minei Mapik B'Perek Sheni D'Megillah D'Me'alos HaShachar Yamamahu. So how do you put these two Gemaras together? The Gemara M'Sachim says that Shkia told Tzeis is 72 minutes. That means that 72 minutes after our sunset is Laila. And the Gemara in Shabbos makes it sound that that Laila, which equals Tzeis HaKochavim, is only 13 and a half minutes afterwards.
Wait, so that whole period, 72 minutes, would be Ben
HaShmashos? No. If you assume that Tzeis HaKochavim, everybody's going to agree, you have to make both Gemaras work. So even Rabbeinu Tam is going to say that Ben HaShmashos is 13 and a half minutes. Right. It's just that it ends at Tzeis HaKochavim, which is 72 minutes after what we call sunset, which means the first 58 and a half minutes after nautical sunset is Yom. No, it's Yom.
Rabbi Yehuda clearly says in the Brisa that if Hitzifa El Yom Hishvala Tachton Zeh Laila. So he's not saying Laila starts at Tzeis HaKochavim. He's saying specifically when the...
Well, maybe what he means when he says when Hichseva Tachton and Hichseva Elyon, maybe that is pitch black. He doesn't use the term Tzeis HaKochavim, but maybe that means... that's why I wanted to say, before confronting this problem, the way we hold, it means the eastern side. But if you're talking about the western side, you know, by the time it's completely dark, that is substantially later, right? It is much more than 13 and a half minutes, you know. It does get much closer to Rabbeinu Tam time. I don't know if it's 72 minutes always, but probably close to, you know, more than 42 minutes even in many cases, right?
Why
there's still...
You have to assume that means that's the time of Tzeis HaKochavim.
What's the time of Tzeis HaKochavim? Because we know Tzeis HaKochavim equals Laila. From the Gemara in Brachos and the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara in Megillah. The question is, unless you have another meaning to Tzeis HaKochavim, which is what the Gra is going to do, that on the surface it doesn't appear to be a crazy question. So something has to yield here. Either really, what you put your finger on it, what has to yield here is either the definition of Shkia in one of the Gemaras or the definition of what Tzeis HaKochavim means. So what does Rabbeinu Tam say? If Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Hasam, in Pesachim, Ma'ibi B'Tchila Shkia, that's the beginning of sunset. For Rabbeinu Tam, Tchila Shkia means when the sun is what we call sunset. Tchila Shkia is not Ben HaShmashos. It's just we can't see it anymore. It has to traverse the width of the firmament. And then when it starts to go behind the firmament, V'hacha Misha Tishka Misof Shkia, Achar Shenichla Sachama Ba'Ovei Rakia. After it's already entered the Ovei Rakia, it's the last part. Okay, then Tosis, he has whatever questions he has. But that's basically Rabbeinu Tam's resolution. Rabbeinu Tam says that there are two Shkias. There's Tchila Shkia, and that is Vada Yom still, for a long time afterwards. And then there's Sof Shkia, which is when the period of Ben HaShmashos begins. That was Rabbeinu Tam's position. 13 and a half minutes. So if you were working with 72 minutes,
right,
which as the Grub points out, should vary seasonally, if that's what you hold. But B'yom Nisan in Eretz Yisrael, after 58 and a half minutes after the sun sets, that's when Ben HaShmashos begins. But for 58 and a half minutes after, you can do whatever melacha you want. In fact, we'll see in Shulchan Aruch, that's the period when you're supposed to do Tosefa Shabbos. You don't have to do all of it, you should do some of it. Once we're at it, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch says, It's a machlokas whether we paskin that you need Tosefes Chol HaKodesh by Shabbos. The only place I think everybody agrees you need it is Yom Kippur. But Shabbos is machlokas HaRishonim. Uzman Tosefes Zohi, mitchilas hashkia, shein Hashem eish niris ala aretz, azman bein hashmashus. Sometime in the 58 and a half minutes, that's when you're supposed to do Tosefes Shabbos. Uvavad, she Yosef ezizman, she evada yom eichol HaKodesh. You have to be sure that it's vada yom, obviously, you can't. Do suffik. Bashir Zman Ben Ashmashas, who gimel rive meal. It's 3/4 of a meal. Shehim, Mahalach, Elef, Tufkov Amos, Kodam Alayla. And the Ramah says you can only go as early as Plaga Mincha, which according to the Ramah and Machaber's reckoning, is not very early. It's barely before sunset, because you're starting from Tzeis HaKochavim, 72 minutes, counting backwards, the 1 1/4 hours, and maybe it's a little longer during the summer months. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Rabbeinu Tam's position. The problem with Rabbeinu Tam's position, as has been pointed out, is that it's based upon an astronomical error. The Gemara Pesachim on that Tzadidal in days, if you turn back for a second, in the Hebrew I accidentally put the first line, I'm going to leave that out. Third line in the second paragraph, still on this page, the back page. Chachme, third line, the second word, from in the second paragraph. Chachme Yisrael Omen. Biyom Chama Mahalachas Lamata Min Rakia. As I explained before, at night it goes beneath the firmament, and during the day it goes beneath the firmament, that's why you see the sun. During the night, it goes behind the firmament, that explains two things. Number one, why can't you see the sun at night? And number two, if the sun set in the west, how in God's name did it wind up in the east the next morning? The answer is, all night it's going behind the rakia where you can't see it, to come back to the east. Which is, by the way, a perfectly logical conception if you lived in a world and you didn't realize, you didn't understand how the universe was constructed. Then, which is really, from at least our vantage point, correct. Amar Rebbe, and I love this, Rebbe says, V'nirin divrehem midvarenu. Their opinion would appear to be more correct. Why, and why did he say that? Which is gewaldig. Right? Why does he think, what's the proof? The proof is that the hot springs are warmer at night, which must be because the sun, and he's assuming a hemispherical Earth, right? Flat bottom, even if he's assuming curved, if it's not flat, it's got to be half, you know, hemispherical. And the sun is closer to the source of the hot springs at night, and that's why they're warmer at night. Now, the hot springs, as far as I know, are not warmer at night. The hot springs feel warmer at night because when you step into them or out of them, the air is colder. Okay, but again, it's a very logical. It's very logical. You can sit in our position knowing what we know, and you can sneer at it, but it's a perfectly logical, empirical way of thinking. Okay, so here's the catch. So okay, but Rebbe said their opinion is correct, and if you hold like Rebbe's opinion, then you can't say Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. There's no two shkias. The shkia is not traversing the width of the firmament. So apparently, Rabbeinu Tam, I've never seen this inside, but Rabbeinu Tam is quoted as saying that's only Nirin, but in fact, we're right. And it only looks like they're right, but really the Chachamim are somewhat wrong, and the Chachamim Yisrael are correct. But Rabbeinu Tam's Shita is based upon a cosmological error, you know, an errant understanding of the cosmos, of how the sun actually works. There wouldn't be any relevance from the vantage point the way we understand it. There's only one sunset. The Gra, I don't know how much the Gra realized and understood about that part, but the Gra had a number of other reasons just about observing the morning period versus the night period, why he said it was absolutely impossible. Now, how does the Gra deal with this particular issue? I mean, we understand the Gemara and Shabbos. What does the Gra do with the Gemara in Pesachim? So the Gra explains, and it's a very, if you're interested, it's in Siman Reish Samach Aleph right here. It's a very, very long Bir HaGra. And if you know the Bir HaGra, generally speaking, the Gra's comments on Shulchan Aruch are like, you know, five words. Like, you know, he'll tell you, I ain't so-and-so, and he will not explain. Here he goes on huge length. I think in this type of printing, this type of font, the Hebrew took up two full pages, is the Haggas HaGra. Yeah, it's very long. And the Gra says the following. He says, no. When the Gemara says Shkia, and the best proof is Rabbi Nechemia, the Gemara in Shabbos about Rabbi Nechemia, Mishayiras Shashemesh Barosha Karmel and Vyerid Vyitbol. And he says that Shkia in both places means Shkia Sachama. But Tzeis HaKochavim Sachem is not Tzeis HaKochavim of Laila, Halachic Laila. Tzeis HaKochavim is Tzeis Kol HaKochavim. In other words, it's clear from the Gemara in Shabbos that when it's Laila already, even though you can only see certain stars, you can see stars of a certain degree, but not other stars. But and when it gets totally black, when you've gone a certain time period afterwards, so then that's called Seis Kol HaKochavim. It wasn't the halachic shir here. And nothing, you know, when the Gemara Pesachim presented the Mahalacha Dembeini, and the Gra doesn't say this. Someone once said this to me. I don't know who explains this in the Gra. Is that people used to travel before sun rose, and they would continue traveling sometime after the sunset. Right? So only when light had totally vanished, that would be when they would stop. So the Tzeisach Kochavim Pesachim is not Halacha Tzeisach Kochavim. It's when you can see all the stars, that's apparently when people would stop traveling. But the Tzeisach Kochavim that we talk about as being Laila in Gemara Brachos and in Pesachim, that Tzeisach Kochavim is like the one we see described in Shabbos, which means when you can see three Kochavim Beinunim. So the Gemara says that basically Bein Hashmashos begins when the sun sets, and it goes Biyomei Nisan in Eretz Yisrael, 13 and a half minutes. That number has to be adjusted based upon latitude and time of year. But that actually is the only period that we have to worry about as being Bein Hashmashos. Up until sunset is Vaday Day. After that 13 and a half minutes is Vaday Laila, and that interim period is treated as Bein Hashmashos.
So the 58 and a half minute period is Vaday Yom?
For whom? Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Correct. And then the next 13 and a half minutes is Bein Hashmashos. So what the Shulchan Aruch that we read says is that you're supposed to be Mosef Mechala HaKodesh, and the Tosefet should be in that 15 and a half minutes. You want to do all of it, great. You want to do a small part of it, great. But make sure you leave a little part of it, you know, where it's Tov Adayom for Tosefet Shabbos. But yeah, so...
What role do they play? This is a little bit unusual, right?
They communicated. Yeah. Why? They certainly would have known about it. So they obviously had some awareness of contemporary astronomical theory. And again, Chazal's opinion wasn't different than some of their contemporaries. In other words, they didn't come up with this out of thin air. This was one view of the cosmos. So yeah.
So in 1560, or whenever Galileo came up with the round world recognition.
Now, the round world was known before that, actually. I don't know what Chazal knew, but I think who was the Greek who calculated in Egypt the circumference of the world to about 24,000 miles? He used shadows. Marshall, you remember who this was?
Copernicus
was Polish, a Polish monk in the 15th century, 15th to 16th century. I forget who it was. I could make up a Greek name, but it was one of the Greek astronomers who figured out that the world was curved, and he calculated its circumference to about 24,000 miles based upon the difference in shadow lengths into different places. So there was certainly, you see, by the way, a hint of this, even though it's possible that the Chacham thought the world was flat or hemispherical. It is possible. There's a remez to the fact that the world was round. In the Mishnah we learned in Avodah Zarah that if you see a statue with certain things in its hands, it's an indication that it's worshipped. And one of them was a kadur. The symbolizing of the ball is that's the world, right? I don't know if Chazal realized that. Yeah, we did. Yeah, so that it's clear already in the period of time of Chazal, long before Chazal, a couple hundred years before, there were people who thought that the world was round. Not everybody, you know, that issue still continued to be an issue, but I suspect almost all medieval astronomers and the like, they, you know, Galileo's time, they already knew the world was round. You know, there were other issues that they were still fighting over, you know, what round around what and so on. Thank you. Okay.
What's his name?
Okay. So anyway, so the answer is, I don't know from Rebbe. Rebbe either thought the world was flat or hemispherical. He certainly didn't think it was round, because if he thought it was round, the sun is not closer to the source, the hot springs, at night. Right? So that. But he thought one of the two. But I don't know if that was the standard view amongst us. I think the Rambam knew the world was round. That I think so. But I don't know what other Rishonim thought in that particular issue. So. And so this is how the whole Machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra, if we call that a Machlokas that way, but the Gra's position was that of the Gaonim and the Rambam and probably Rashi, whereas a whole bunch of Rishonim like Ramban and Rashbar and Rifah end up following Tosas' position, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Mechaber and the Ramah, possibly Rabbeinu Tam. The Gra rejects that opinion. I don't know, again, I don't know the Hasidic community, I don't know anybody today who would do any kind of malacha after sunset. We tend to be machmir for a fairly long Bein Hashmashos, but not too many people either assume Rabbeinu Tam. What's that? You might daven mincha, for that you can be samech upon, you know, Yosef, the first minute, or Rabba, first minute and a half, you know, maybe it's Bein Hashmashos anyway, so, you know, most people wouldn't say, if you told me it's 3 minutes after Shkia, should I daven mincha now, the answer would probably be yes. If it was 20 minutes after Shkia, I would say, wait to do Tfilas Tashlumin. Right.
Should totally drive this guy into Judaism. He was a freaking rock star.
You mean?
He calculated the tilt of the Earth's axis, the distance from the Earth to the sun, and invented the leap day.
There you go. Okay. Okay. Very good. So anyway, so that is the machlokas. And what we need to know most, this was an excuse to do what I think is a fascinating sugya. We need to know that Rabbi Yose and Rabbi Yehuda have a machlokas one bein hashmashos is, and that's going to be referenced. We may have read it quickly, or we may not read it yet on the bottom, dot beis and beis. So to understand the two periods of bein hashmashos, and now you know what the machlokas actually is about, what is bein hashmashos.